Good morning, and we would like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumccmore.org. We would like to invite everyone to our Harvest Festival on September 16th from 3 p.m. until 6 p.m. We will be cooking hot dogs and hamburgers, and we're going to have chips and water to drink. So please bring your kiddos to play on the bouncy house, paint pumpkins, play a ducky duck game, and visit our Touch a Truck. We are located once again at 333 South Chestnut Street here in Seymour, and we hope to see you all then. This morning, our radio is sponsored by Terry and Troy Nicholson in honor of Chris and Taylor's birthdays in September. Our scripture reading this morning will be from Exodus chapter,
1, verses 8 through
chapter 2, verse 10. And our sermon will be A Deliverer is Born by Pastor Angel Armstrong. I am struggling today to read. All right. Here we go. Then a new king, who did not know about Joseph, came to power in Egypt. "Look," he said to his people, "the Israelites have become much too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous. And if war breaks out, we'll join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country." So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor. And they built Pithom and Ramesses as store cities for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter with hard labor in brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the fields. In all their hard labor, the Egyptians used them ruthlessly. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shiphrah and Puah, "When you help the Hebrew women in childbirth and observe them on the delivery stool, if it is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, let her live." The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. Then the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and asked them, "Why have you done this? Why have you let the boys live?" The midwives answered Pharaoh, "Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwives arrive." So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, He gave them families of their own. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people: "Every boy that is born, you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live." The birth of Moses. Now a man of the house of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. But when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her slave girl to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered, And the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to the Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." The word of God to the people of God.
Thanks be to God. How many times have we read in the word of God where our God is for the underdog? Our God is for those who are oppressed, those who are marginalized, those who feel left out. Our God is the great deliverer. Now, Moses was an amazing deliverer, a deliverer in Israel, and God afforded him the opportunity to be raised in the palace in Egypt, to get an education that he couldn't have gotten any other way, to know all about the land of Egypt, because later, Moses would return to set his people free. And that's what our God is about. Our God is a good and great deliverer. He sets us free. He sets us free from sin and death by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die upon the cross so that we would not have to suffer eternal damnation or separation from God. Our God delivers us from our hurts, our habits, and our hang-ups. He ministers deeply to each individual heart, delivering us from the things that ensnare us and keep us from being fully devoted to Him. Now, the story of Moses is an incredible story. The Nile River is one of the most exotic, beautiful rivers in all of the world. It is one of two rivers that run north. You know where the other one is? The other one is right here in Indiana, the Massanutten River. But the Nile River was a winding river, some 4,160 miles long. And in that barren country, it was indeed life-giving. But there was a creature in the Nile River, one of the most fearsome creatures in the world, the Nile crocodile. There are 12 species of this fearful creature. It waits upon the shoals, upon the banks, looking for unsuspecting animals or humans, and pulls them into the water, down under the water, twisting and twirling them and attacking them until they give up their life. The Nile River was no place for a baby in a basket. But our God, our great deliverer, took care of that baby in that basket. I absolutely love this story. The baby is born, and these parents are not afraid of the king's edict. They hold on to that baby. They have been told that if a boy baby is born, he is to be killed. Talk about a paranoid Pharaoh. He is so worried that the hardy, thriving Egyptians, Hebrews, even though they are slaves, he is worried that they will multiply and become so numerous that they will join with Egypt's enemies and they would overrule should war break out? This beautiful baby, the Word of God says that this baby was beautiful. There was something different about him from birth on. This beautiful baby was hidden by his mother and father for 3 months until they could no longer hide the baby. Then the mother, becoming fearless and bold, wanting to save her child, comes up with an idea. She takes a basket made of reeds and she uses bittim. Now, I had to research that. Bittim is made out of something like crude oil. It is a sap that is thick and tarry-like. Once coating the inside of this basket, it becomes like asphalt. There wasn't any water getting into that baby, and she covered the basket up and placed her precious son into the Nile River with those Nile crocodiles and Miriam. Miriam stood on the river bank in the shadows watching to see what would happen to her baby brother. And along comes Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh's daughter sees the basket out there and she tells one of her slave girls, go and get that basket. There was something in her heart that made her want to see what was in that basket. Now this woman was a princess. She had everything she needed. Why would she look into a basket in the reeds? But she did. And when that child was drawn out of the river and she opened the basket, the baby began to cry. And she had great compassion upon the infant in the basket. And now, as God had planned, Miriam steps forward and says, would you like me to go get one of the Hebrew women to nurse that baby? She says, oh, yes, I would. I will pay her. So Miriam goes and gets her own mother, the mother of this child. And she not only is allowed to nurse and hold her precious child for a couple of more years, she gets paid for it. And then the princess comes and takes the boy back to the palace and she names him Moses, meaning drawn out, saved from, drawn out of the river. Beloved, each and every one of us are named Moses too, because each and every one of us has been delivered. We have been drawn out by the waters of baptism. We have been saved from the slavery to sin and death. We have been saved by the great deliverer. I don't know if any of you remember. Do you remember when 9 miners in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, were drawn out from the mines that were flooded? They surely would have died if the community did not come together and rescue them. And then, I don't know if some of you are old enough to remember, but I remember being absolutely glued to the TV when little tiny Jessica McClure fell into a 22-foot deep well and was trapped down there. And they thought there was no way they were going to get this child out. And they were trying to keep the child calm. They pumped air down to her. They dropped a microphone down to her. And her mother sang her 2 favorite songs, Jesus Loves Me and Winnie the Pooh. And eventually, they drilled through. And a paramedic drew out precious little 2.5-year-old Jessica. Later, when she was asked, who saved you? She said, Winnie the Pooh. Because Mama sang Winnie the Pooh to her. I don't know about you, But I want to be saved. I want to be delivered. I want to be saved from my sins. And my great deliverer isn't Winnie the Pooh. My great deliverer is Jesus the Christ. He is the deliverer of all deliverers. For what he did upon the cross, he shed his blood. He faced dire humiliation. He went through beatings and false accusations, and he sinned not. He faced every temptation known to man, but he did not sin. Therefore, he deeply understands when we are tempted. He deeply understands when we do sin and we fall upon our knees and we repent and turn from that sin. And we say, here I am, Lord, here I am. Use me. Christ understands everything you and I will ever go through. That is an amazing deliverer. You know, this Pharaoh was a paranoid man. He was so sure that the prolific, numerous Hebrews would rise up and maybe, possibly, someday join with the enemies in a war, that he could order all of the baby boys killed. What compelled such drastic, horrible orders as to kill all baby boys? Paranoia and fear. And beloved, each and every one of us suffer from that, because that is how Satan works in our minds. I don't know about you, but he tells me things like, she's looking at me funny. I wonder what she's thinking. Did I do something wrong? He creates wedges between you and I. He creates wedges between people. He splits families. He splits churches. We have to remember to go to the great deliverer and ask him to draw us out, to save and protect our minds, to be our helmet of salvation. You know, Joseph was an amazing person and won his Pharaoh's heart. But by the time it came to Ramses II, he either was so stupid that he didn't know anything about Joseph whatsoever, or more than likely, he felt threatened. When we as human beings feel threatened, we can do some terrible things. When our security is threatened, when we feel threatened, we need to examine our own minds, our own hearts, and our own motives. Turn them over to Christ. These folks, these Hebrews, who were condemned to slavery, were exceedingly successful because they were God's children. God is for the underdog. God is for the oppressed. But the Israelites were fruitful and prolific. They multiplied and grew exceedingly strong so that the land was filled with them. This is the account of the Israelite population explosion in Egypt, and it fulfills the Lord's promise of numerous descendants to the patriarchs. But this new king coming to power feels his security threatened. To whom do we go when our security is threatened? You know, ever since 9/11, we in this country, matter of fact, we in the free world, have become a little paranoid ourselves. Our security has been threatened. The Osama bin Ladens, who are motivated by a very bad mix of politics and religion have taken away our security and made us vulnerable. Our faith in our military is not what it once was. Our expectation of economic growth, I mean, after all, we are the land of the fruitful. It is not what it once was. Our democratic, free society, our expectations have been suddenly threatened. Where and in whom is our faith and our security? I hope it's in our great deliverer, Jesus Christ. This new king had a solution for the Arapaho, a word meaning the landless people. The Hebrews had no land of their own, supposedly. He was ruthless. He was bitter. He subjected them to the worst torments that he could possibly think of because he thought that by giving them such hard labor, so little food, demanding that they build buildings and canals and irrigation systems, they would be too zapped of their vitality to continue to produce. But they loved their God. Shapirah and Puah loved and feared their God. They so revered their God that they went against what Pharaoh had ordered. Pharaoh told them, when these women give birth on the birthing stools, you are to take that child and smash his head if it is a boy, killing him. And then when Pharaoh called them in front of him, can you imagine how terrified these midwives were? And asked them, why didn't you kill the baby boys? They said, those Hebrew women are hardy. They give birth before we can even get there. God rewarded them and gave them families of their own. Five women of courage and tenacity, imagination and ingenuity saved Moses' life. Shapirah and Puah, Jehochabed, his mother, the nameless Pharaoh's daughter, and his sister Miriam, because they all had faith in God. Black Americans were for years, and some still are, oppressed in many ways. And Jimmy Paffenberger, if you're listening on the radio, you have to know that I do indeed learn lessons from you. One of the greatest hymn writers there ever has been was Dr. Charles Albert Tinley, pastor of the famous Tinley United Methodist Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And he wrote a song, "The Storm Is Passing Over," or perhaps you know it best as "We Shall Overcome." See, Jimmy, I do listen. "Courage my soul and let us journey on. Though the night is dark, it won't be very long. Hallelujah, hallelujah, the storm is passing over." The refrain, the transformed version says, "I will overcome someday. I will overcome someday. If my heart I do not yield, I will overcome someday. We shall overcome, we shall overcome. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome someday." Just as the black slaves clung to their God during times of oppression, we are called to cling to our God during times of oppression, during times of temptation, during times of great trials, knowing that he does indeed save us. Deep in the heart of every human being yearns deliverance. The deliverance may not only be social. It might be personal. It might be something that no other human being knows. You know, one of my deepest needs was a need to belong. The way I grew up, I just never really felt like I fit in or like I belonged. And in some cases, there might be some people who still don't think that I do. But coming here to Seymour, I have been involved in all kinds of ministries. I have been loved by this church and by the community. And my God delivered me from feeling like an outsider, an outcast. And He calls each and every one of us to do the same for Him. That we so come alongside of other people that they don't feel alone anymore, that they don't feel like outcasts, that they know that they are loved. Moses, meaning drawn out of the water, a young black convict in the South being executed, is heard pleading, "Joe Louis, save me! Joe Louis, save me!" Sadly, this young man only knew one person in his life that had any power, and it was a boxer, Joe Louis. "I want to be saved. I want to be delivered. I want to be loved. And my deliverer isn't a boxer. My deliverer is Jesus Christ."